We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Penguins and Capitals tonight in D.C. Tristan Jarry back in net. Jason Zucker out longer term, according to Mike Sullivan. There's your headline. Shaler Wetco has the deal for you. 50% off any car wash through Friday. Stop out to the Shaler Wetco right now, William Flynn Highway, to shine up your ride. Info at 93.7thefan.com. Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, with us. A guy who I'm pretty sure is in his mid to late 30s. So I feel comfortable asking him this question. Steve, Hootie and the Blowfish, good band or bad band?
Just your quintessential 1995, you know, it just says mid-90s. So whether you think that's good or bad,
it
depends on how you think about that time period in your life.
How do you look back on those years?
Middle school was really awkward, so it reminds me of awkwardness. So I would have to go closer to not good band.
Ugh.
That's it.
If they were a PFF grade, like numerically here, what are we looking at? Like a 62?
So I throw them in that middle tier. That's my answer for everything. Everybody's mid tier. Can have a good year somewhere. Can have a bad year.
How many Hootie and the Blowfish singles can you name? Andrew claimed that they had like 10 big hits, and I dared him to name them, and
we had time limits on the segment.
He very obviously dodged the issue.
They just had that one, right?
Chris, you're laughing. You thought the Dolphins mentioned in the one song was about the animal and not the football team.
I never cared enough to listen that closely.
Yeah.
I think anybody that wasn't spending a ton of time listening to Hootie wasn't doing anything
you're
wrong.
Lost. Steve,
this remains my favorite discussion every week.
Thank you. Steve, how do the Steelers offensively surround Ben with the parts he needs to be a better quarterback in 2021?
I think you've got to get a little creative on the offensive line because, you know, again, I mentioned this a lot, but you got to be pretty good on the offensive line at minimum. And they're losing, you know, a couple pieces. And, you know, if other teams that are trying to rebuild their offensive line, I point them to Alejandro Villanueva and Matt Filer. I mean, those are the guys I look at, right? Guys that the Steelers are potentially losing. And say, hey, here's a great way to rebuild your offensive line. So there's a little bit of whack-a-mole going. I would call it whack-a-mole, right? You know, just shore up these holes, but other ones pop up. So I think that's a key. Juju, a wide receiver, I'm less concerned about because of Chase Claypool and his emergence and Deontay Johnson. But you still want another guy. Like, if James Washington's not the guy, you still want to give Big Ben as many weapons as possible, right? So. I think that's the starting point, is you want to at least be average along the offensive line, if not better. You do want to improve from a run-blocking standpoint, and then figure out who that other playmaker or two is when you're surrounding Big Ben.
Steve, how much could they improve their general play, you know, big playability as an offense without even adding necessarily like a new skill weapon in just incorporating play action more? I know you've talked about that as a cheat code. Even if you don't run the ball that well, it still can work. How big of a hindrance is it to them that they just don't really run that?
I really think it's huge. And look, I did a study a couple of years ago because it just made sense to me intuitively. So Big Ben last year had one of the lowest average depths of target in the NFL, right? And you guys saw that. We all felt it, right? Short passing game. I looked back at all of the, excuse me using it again, middle tier quarterbacks. Let's say Ben's in that middle tier. He's QB 11 through 23. Somewhere, right? He's in that somewhere. all of the quarterbacks who are like that and increase their average depth of target by like two or three yards per attempt, those were the guys who were like more likely to have a career year. Derek Carr just did that this past year. He just became more aggressive, and that offense was actually top five most efficient passing offense in the league, the Raiders. It didn't feel like that because the defense was terrible. But my point is, just by being more aggressive, and play action is a piece of that. When you run play action, you take more shots down the field. Just when you do that, if you have Big Ben at quarterback, what you're doing is just increasing variance. You're increasing the chance that he plays like a top 10 quarterback. Now, it could go sour and it could be ugly, but like, I don't know, it's going to be ugly if you just throw 3 yard passes the whole year too. So just by doing that, you increase variance, you have a chance at hitting at a quote unquote career year, not for Ben because he's been hot, better. Mm-hmm. But when you have like a Derek Carr, a Matthew Stafford, a Carson Palmer in his random MVP season in 2015, chuck it down the field, be aggressive, and just see what happens. And I think there is an element to that based off how the Steelers are going to have their roster constructed that, you know, is worth looking into.
But when I asked you about how they get better offensively, it sounded to me a lot like just, you know, swapping guys out and maybe finding players that are adequate replacements. You know, it didn't sound, Steve, like there's a solution where there are players that are going to make them better. It might have to be like internal improvements of young players. At least that's how I read into your comments.
It's in part because they're dealing with a terrible salary cap situation.
Exactly.
Too, right? I mean,
yep.
It's easier if you guys were in Indianapolis, I would tell you, hey, go surround Carson Wentz with, you know, three new wide receivers. Go buy all of them. You got some cap space, right? But we're talking Pittsburgh here, and they have to get a little bit more creative, right? I mean, they don't have cap space, and they're losing quality players. It's a rough spot to be. I think I can't remember if I mentioned it here last week too, but if how they're going to compete next year, you kind of have to hit on your draft class too.
Yep.
And that's risky because there's a lot of draft classes that just don't contribute in a given year. But then you have a team like the Tampa Bay Bucks that filled two very specific needs in the draft at right tackle and safety with Tristan Wirfs, Antoine Winfield, two starters. They filled needs on a championship team and won a championship. So it's doable. You just have to hit on some draft picks and, have some of that internal improvement, as you said.
Steve, as far as this draft goes, we know the Steelers need offensive line help. We know they need running back help. I think linebacker seems almost every year to be an issue where they need depth, at least, or a place where they need depth. Are any or all of those positions in this draft, in your opinion, deep with talent that could help them right away?
Yeah, I think so. Offensive line, I think, is solid. You've got the star at the top in Penei Sewell, but there's a lot of starting caliber tackles. If you're talking back into the first, whether it's Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech, Tevin Jenkins from Oklahoma State, Dylan Raduns from North Dakota State, first and second round talent, there's a lot of potential starters at tackle. There's some good solid players at guard. I think offensive line, the tricky part with young offensive linemen is sometimes they take 3 years to develop. So again, it depends on how much you feel the need to be good this year versus being a part of the rebuild. Linebacker, I think, is similar. I think smart teams are also taking safeties and moving them up to linebacker. I don't know if Pittsburgh's really necessarily in that boat. But a guy like Nick Bolton from Missouri at the back end of the first round, we might be a little bit higher on him than most, but there is some talent. Zaven Collins from Tulsa. So we have five guys in our top 50 at linebacker, so it's not bad there. And then running back, we'll never rank anybody in the first round. So, just get anybody. You know that.
Yeah.
Get whoever.
Do you feel like there is a gap between the Ravens, Browns, and then the Steelers, Steve? Like, is it clearly those two teams, and then there's a drop-off in the Steelers because of their salary cap situation and the guys they're losing? Would you describe it that way?
I think it's more just because it's more because of the quarterback. So football is just a fascinating game because I hate just talking about the quarterback, but that's where the baseline for team success starts, right? If you don't have a good quarterback, everything else has to be so incredible. Like Mitchell Trubisky in 2018 was not good, but the rest of the Bears were so good that they were good. But that is unsustainable in football. So it really depends on if Big Ben looks like he did this year, and a little older, and arm's not great, and missing throws, and what have you, or if he bounces back a little bit. And that completely changes the baseline for the Steelers. And the point I'm trying to get to is, in football, there's like 30 contributors in a given week, 30, 35 contributors. In other sports, it's far less. So even though the Steelers are losing a little bit of name value across the roster and it feels like this uncomfortable rebuild, sometimes it's not as bad as it seems because, look, I love Ali Villanueva, but he's not it's not the biggest deal in the world losing a tackle. It's not the biggest deal in the world losing Juju if you have other receivers. You know what I mean? So it's probably not as uncomfortable as it seems, but it depends so much on which Big Ben you get next year as well.
The best version of him at this point in his career, Steve, Roethlisberger, what does that look like? He plays, you know, I'm not going to tell you he plays like the greatest age 39 season in league history, but based on what we know of his game, the best version of him that you think can show up next year is a top what quarterback in the NFL?
If we're talking best version, I think he could be top 10. I mean, the 10th quarterback in the league does tend to fluctuate a little bit. The 10th quarterback by our grades this year, just pure passing grade, was Baker Mayfield. You know, could he put up a Baker Mayfield? In their stats, I know we're similar this year, Baker yep. and Big Ben. But I'm just saying, throw for throw, that was our number 10 guy. Matt Ryan was number 9. And in his season was all over the place. He had 5 or 6 terrible games, 7 or 8 really good games. And so, yeah, he could potentially play like a top 10 quarterback. And then you get some breaks and you get maybe Claypool does emerge and, you know, is a little bit more consistent and things look really good. So it's certainly possible if we're talking best version of Big Ben still being, you know, QB 8, 9, 10 or whatever it might be in a given season.
Cause now you've got me thinking, Steve, because you love Joe Burrow. Right? Like, didn't you come on here and say when the Bengals sucked that they could come to Pittsburgh and beat them because Burrow was just the type of quarterback to win a game like that, if I'm not mistaken? Like, wasn't that one of your bold takes from last year?
Yeah, I had a bold take.
No,
yeah.
that's
and I was right that the Bengals would win a game against the Steelers, just the wrong one. Yeah.
So, if you're that high on Burrow, then you have to allow for the possibility that the Steelers could be the worst team in the AFC North next year, right?
Oh, yeah, I would allow for that possibility as well, yeah. I think if the Bengals have a good offseason, now that's a big if. If they have a good offseason, they got to add 3 starters on the offensive line between free agency and the draft. Probably grab another playmaker for Burrow. And the defense is what really concerns me. Their 2 best defensive players, or 2 out of their 3 best defensive players are free agents, Carl Lawson and William Jackson. So they have some issues on the defensive side of the ball. But, yeah, if Burrow does continue to progress, he looked really good this year before the injury. If he does continue to progress, there's a chance the Steelers are the worst team in the division. There's a lot of variance here, AFC North.
How much can Devin Bush coming back help them in the aggregate on defense, knowing that they're going to lose a decent amount? I mean, can Devin Bush make up for a lot of what they're going to lose or a lot of the areas in which they would otherwise be deficient?
I always struggle putting that much on a linebacker. I don't know that their linebacker play was that bad this year, even without him. It went through ebbs and flows for sure, but I think the secondary is going to be a bigger issue. You know, if they do end up having to move on from a Joe Hayden and you have to replace Mike Hilton, and I think those issues are going to be, I think, a little bit more important. Bush helps, obviously. Good linebacker play is extremely valuable in the NFL. 3-down linebacker play, playing the run, you know, playing coverage and playing the zone heavy scheme that the Steelers like. So I think it'll help, but I think we'll know a little bit more based off how their secondary plays.
Steve, how many days a week would you say you eat a steak?
Not enough. 0 right now for the most part.
0?
Why is that?
It's like kid-friendly meals every week. We do Taco Tuesday and pasta all the time.
And you got to clean up the leftovers, too.
Pasta
if the kid leaves,
all
like, something
the time. Pasta's not kid-friendly. It's messy. There's red sauce all over the place. It stains.
No, it's friendly because they eat it. Oh. They don't like my kids hate protein. They just want pasta all the time. So not enough.
And then you got to eat eat the leftovers when they leave it half eaten. Like, do you get like I do? Because then I feel bad. I'm like, I don't want to waste this food, and I know my kid won't eat it in the next day.
Ugh.
And then I just grub on that.
I made some burgers last night. Yeah, I always have the leftover burger because they're not eating it. Kids, they're all little. So and now I don't get to go to the NFL Combine. You know, this week or next week or whatever it is, and I'll eat all the I usually eat all my steaks there in Indy for the week, so we're missing that. I mean, these are some serious first world problems we have over here.
Yeah, I have heard
stories. Skyline Chili good, by the way? You're in Cincy. You're based in Cincy. Thank
no,
you.
No, it's
okay.
Terrible.
Just making sure. Thank you.
No.
Does Collinsworth like it? I mean, he played there. Did he, like, grow to like it and try to get everybody else in on it?
From what I've gathered, only people who are here like it, and I think it's just like a nostalgic thing. Like, oh, I went there when I was seven, and I liked it, and it was a cool treat when I was seven. So Chris is from Florida initially, so I can't imagine that he likes it. I'm from Boston. I don't like it. I don't know anybody who's, you know, landed in Cincinnati that's like, oh, we got to get to Skyline. Is anybody in Cincinnati listening? I'm sorry, but
if they are, screw them. Anyways, all right, Steve. Good talk. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. It's been real. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.